We are Bible people. Grace Bible Church, GBC. I don't know if you like those terms or not. Everybody gets the initials, and sometimes you forget what they stand for. And my son's church out in Pennsylvania has just gone to the initials of the church. And I said, well, nobody knows what it means. He says, that's all right. They just know from it's ECFC. I said, what's that supposed to? I never like it myself. But Grace Bible Church is all about, look at it, exactly what the Bible says. Amen? Exactly what the Bible says. Nothing more, nothing less. We want to be Bible people. And it just hit me today that we are becoming Bible people. But we have a Bible Institute that begins tonight for 8 weeks, and we have qualified men teaching. Matt Smith could teach in any seminary in the world. Amen? And man, and Pastor Kyle, he can apologize better than anybody. Okay? And you have two great classes going on tonight, and you should choose one of them and be here. We're going to have the children and those that can't be in the auditorium. If you want to come, get somebody to sit with your kids, or we'll set them right up here and I'll eye them. But we're going to have a good time in the church service also in studying the Bible. We have a video we're going to be showing. So it's John Piper doing a video on how to study the Bible. He's circling everything. I don't know if you've ever seen those. Those are so cool. I just get excited. He gets so excited as he's teaching. But you ought to be here tonight. That's all I'm going to tell you. We're offering this. Very few churches are offering this kind of stuff today. Y'all know that? Very few. As Pastor Kyle said, we were at a meeting with Paul Sager and his mission board, trying to figure out how to get more missionaries. Do you know the number of missionaries coming out of Bible colleges are getting less and less? Do you know the number going to Bible colleges is getting less and less? All the Bible colleges, Northland has closed. I didn't know if you knew that. You ever heard of Tennessee Temple? Okay, Tennessee Temple is no more. Okay, and Clearwater, where my children went, is no more. And the Bible colleges are, every one of them have less students. Every one of them. And they said, well, the church has to pick it up. Is there any churches doing this? And Paul said, no. And we said, well, we are. And so I encourage you. I know it's studying. I know it stretches you. You know, they might use some big words you don't know. Go home, look them up, get them out. You know, it is important that we're Bible people. If you don't know what your Bible says, you can be misled. Y'all know that? Are there a lot of shysters out there trying to move you in different directions in Christianity today? All kinds of them. And we need to understand that. And that's why you need to be a Bible person. And so you understand that. Take your paper there. Not last week. I was down at Appalachian Bible College. Ron Lee and I was teaching. You should have seen Ron Lee preaching at him. It was great. And but she talked to the girls and I talked to the guys, and it was wonderful. We had a great time. So the week before that, we did number 1 and 2 on your list here. We believe that people need to be genuinely saved. Amen? That's very, very important. And then the second one, we believe in prayer, the power of prayer. Then we went to the back. Number 10, we believe that every person in our church should be a missionary, an evangelist, a witnessing, spreading the gospel, everybody. And then the second one, number 11 there, we believe that everybody in the church should love one another. I love it when teens and adults are talking and communicating one another. That's a big point of our church. I believe in all four generations in a church. And today we're moving in areas where a church is just for one generation. I don't believe that's biblical. It has to be all four. And the older and the younger. And there is generation gaps, but let's work at it. Come on. Do you have to do that in your family? With grandpas and grandmas and moms and dads and kids and all of that? Yes. And but I believe a church should be a family loving one another. Should be the heartbeat of our church is loving brothers and others. And then we went down to 15 about biblical counseling. You need to realize with the Word of God, you can help people. people. Is that right? You can comfort people. And those are the five we did the week before. This morning we are doing 3, 4, and 5, and then we're jumping on the back and doing 13 and 14. And next week we're going to be doing 7, 6, 7, and 8 next week. And then the final week we're just doing 2, which are very important, number 9 and number 12. I want you to read these things because this is very, very important to realize we are a Bible people church. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We had that read this morning. And in the last days, in the first 5 verses, there's going to be terrible things happening. Are they happening today? Yes. And I want you to know there's a big list there, but right in the middle of that list, it says they shall be disobedient to parents. Is that what it says? That's a big one. You have all those big sins there. Does God take children, teenagers, does God take being disobedient to your parents seriously? Yes, He does. You're going to give an account. I believe each of us are going to give an account for the stages of life we were in. I think you're going to give an account to God for what you did as a child, especially to your parents. You're going to give an account of your teen years, of how you walked with God or didn't walk with God. Now then you're going to give an account of your 20s and your marriage life. You're going to give an account. You're going to give an account of your older years. Is that right? You're going to give an account. And aren't you glad we're saved for sure forever? We're going to talk about that next week. But we're still, if you don't get your sins made right down here, you're going to face them. And God, it's going to be tough. And you wish you'd made everything right. And that's serious. And if you did a poor job with your parents in your teen years and your younger years, you need to make that right with people and make that right with God and your parents. Because, that's heavy. Then it says, you've known the Bible. I've got 14, 15, and 16 up here, and 17 of this text. And it says, you learned the Bible, you studied the Bible, you learned it from childhood. That's why we have Sunday school, and that's why we have Wednesday night. And I want you to know, the churches today are just going to Sunday morning for 45 minutes. I want you to know, less isn't better. Hear me? Less isn't better. And to dominate, we have a world that's dominating secularism. Is that right? Just pounding you. And we need to dominate. Our children need to be taught. That's why we have Sunday school. Sunday school is very important. Very important. And then Wednesday night for the whole family is very important. And then tonight for studying the Bible, you're going to be stretched. Well, I don't like to. I like to watch TV. Oh, get a life. You know, we got to be stretched. And we got to know God. Let me tell you, Lynn Grove sitting over here. He won't mind me sharing this. Lynn just lost his wife. Is that right? Do you have perfect peace about the leaving of your wife?
Absolutely.
Perfect peace. Did you hear that? He's too happy for her to be sad for himself. How do you get there? It's that book. He saturated his whole life with that book, and in the time that you need it the most, it gives you peace because it's truth. But you got to have a lot of it in you. And that man studied his Bible. I just talked to Mrs. Powers yesterday, and she was just telling me she loves her time in the Bible every day. And we forget that when these times come in your life, and they're coming to all of us, if you don't have a big God that's near you, that is full of truth and joy, you won't get it. You won't get it. You won't have no answers. You'll just see your loss, not their gain. And it is so important that you got to be saturated. It said that Timothy, from a child, was acquainted. He knew the sacred writings, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And it was able to save his soul. And he was taught it. And it was good. It was profitable. It was God-breathed. And it would complete him, equip him to do everything good. And that's why we're Bible people. And it's very, very important to understand that and to say, God, thank you. Thank you very, very much. to do that. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, 16. I want to go through the issues here. Our first issue that I want to hit this morning is in number 4 on your paper there of who we are, is that we are an independent church. We are an independent church. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. That just means we're not in a denomination. We don't have hierarchy. We don't have bishops telling us what to do. The head of our church is who? Jesus. He's the head of our church. It says that he will build his church, Jesus said in Matthew, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That's right, it's his church. And we're an independent church. We're just us. We found that it doesn't corrupt itself. The more you have power and money and prestige and all of that, it corrupts itself. So we've declared ourselves an independent church. We're non-denominational. We do not have a denomination. And that's very important because Jesus is the head of our church. Secondly, we are fundamental. We are a fundamental church. And we're about absolute truth, not relative truth. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again, that it is life that he has. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I trust you there. It says, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness," is the truth of the Bible, the truth of God, okay? He, Jesus, was manifest in the flesh, God in the flesh, vindicated, confirmed, justified by the Spirit, seen, the angels witnessed all the reality of Jesus, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, witnessed by himself and by the apostles and us today, believed on in the world, okay, and taken up to glory. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That verse there summarizes the fundamentals of the faith, the Bible teachings, the doctrines that we hold to. And we are solely based upon Scripture. We are Bible people, Bible doctrine. And that's what the word fundamental means. The word fundamental has been misused by the fundamental Islamic. All that means is basic. And we are back to the basics of the Bible. And we are not just mean people, killing people. No, it means we believe the Bible. That's all it means. We are independent. God's our only head. We are fundamental. We are Bible doctrine people. And then we need to understand that that is very important. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39. Great verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39. We are dispensational. Dispensational. This just means in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, that blindness has come to Israel until the Gentiles, time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. We are dispensational. Just a real quick study on dispensations. We have Abraham here. We have Adam. We have Noah. God was trying to get somebody to love him and follow him and obey him. And he found Abraham, and Abraham did it. So he started the Jewish people from the family of Abraham, and he gave them some promises of a land, seed, and the blessings. He gave the law to Moses, to the Jewish people on Mount Sinai, and this is the entire Old Testament right here, and it was to Israel, and God was working with Israel. That was the whole Testament. Jesus came to set up the kingdom for Israel, and they killed the king. Is that right? The Jews killed the king, okay? And thus the Old Testament ended right here, where he said, "It is finished." At that point, the Old Testament ended because Jesus, the Lamb of God, died for the world, okay? And the Israel, who he was trying to reach all the time, rejected him. And so he says, "I'm going to blind you," here in Romans chapter 11, "until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled and the promise that I gave you of a kingdom, then I'm going to give it to you over here." That's why we're dispensational, because we believe that God worked with Israel in the Old Testament. When he died and they crucified him, he started working with the Gentiles, the church, the Holy Spirit. And when this is done in the tribulation and the rapture here, he's going to work with Israel again, because he promised them a land and a kingdom. Is that right? Now that's a quick lesson. Okay. Why don't we have Sabbaths? Because God finished with Israel. Why don't we have sacrificial systems? Because Jesus completed the whole Old Testament. And it's very important you understand that, or you'll say, man, I don't understand the Old Testament, New Testament. It seems weird. It's just the fact that God was working with Israel here, looking up to the cross. And He was wanting to set up, He came as a king when He came. And He was wanting to set up the kingdom. And they rejected, they killed Him. And thus He says, I'm going to the Gentiles. Gentiles didn't get saved back here. Now Jews, very few Jews get saved. And this is the age of the Gentile. And when it is complete, He's going to work with Israel again in the millennial thousand-year kingdom on earth. And He's going to fulfill His promises He made to Abraham and all of that. But we're right here. And this is the time of the Gentile, and it's wonderful to realize He's working with us in the New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament. You got to understand that. Now, when I do my study on that, we're going to go through that on a whole day, a whole service, okay? How do I do it? 1 minute? And that is so important to understand that, because why is there stuff in the Old Testament we don't do in the New Testament? That's it. Or else you have all kinds of, wow, there's all kinds of rules. You ever read the book of Leviticus? Read the book of Leviticus. And see, we're not obeying that today at all. Why? Because John the Baptist said what? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's one of the greatest verses. And he ended the Old Testament and began the New Testament. And it's wonderful. It's all by grace. It's wonderful. If you don't understand that, please come, join me. Sign up and join me next Sunday at 9:30 to go over this in detail. It's very, very important. And then we're literalist. We're literalist. I like this one. We believe what the Bible says, what the Bible simply says, is what the Bible simply means. Okay, we're literalist. I like this one here. It says, all in 6 days? Yep, you know. Are you sure 6 days? Yes, 6 days. God created the universe in 6 days? Yes, the Bible says 6 days. Six regular rotations of the earth? Yes, six normal days. Is that right? He did it. That's what he said. We are literalists. We believe the Bible to be interpreted literally. You know, it eternally means what it says, and it eternally says what it means. Let the Bible speak for itself. Do you know a lot of people just read through the Bible and whatever they think it wants to say? What do you think it means? And allegory and everything? You know, I heard a lady say, well, the things I don't like in the Bible, you know, God understands. We just skip over it. No. Well, I didn't like that verse, so I don't obey it. No. The Bible's the Bible. You know, we can't move it around. And we have people reading the Bible today. We have people claiming to be Christians today that don't read the Bible what it says. And how can that be? And that's been going on for years. We believe in a literal interpretation of the Bible. And when it says there's a literal hell, does it mean there's a literal hell? Yes, there's a literal heaven. Jesus was real. It's a literal Bible. What it says is what it means. And what it means, it simply says. Let the Bible speak for itself. It's a literal interpretation of the Bible. And we're Bible people. And that is very, very important. And then we believe in creation. We believe in creation. We're going to deal with three things here very quickly: creation, abortion, and homosexuality. We need to know that the sin issues of our culture, these issues that the culture's attitude has presented, the culture movements of these teaching, very important. And the people caught up in believing evolution. The people caught up in abortions. And I'm very sensitive. In our crowd, there might be a person that had an abortion. I want you to know, if you've asked God to forgive you, has He forgiven you? I want to make that clear. That's very important. Oh, preacher, it just haunts me every day of my life. No. If you've confessed your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from what? All. I think it's very important. and you were just caught up in a movement. You were caught up in a cultural attitude, a social thing that's wrong, it's sinful. It's killing our country. Amen? And evolution is one of the biggest things they start, because with evolution, there's no God. With evolution, there's no Genesis 1-1. And that is a big thing to realize, that, wow, we need to turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Everybody, turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 26. In creation, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:39, "For not all flesh is the same flesh, but there is one kind of humans, another kind of animals, another kind of birds, and another kind of fish." And that's just what the Bible says. Is that right? It didn't evolve. That verse just proves it did not evolve. There's one of this, one of this, one of this. It didn't evolve. And it was God. I love Psalm 33. Let's look at this verse. I love this verse. It says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." Is that pretty clear? Okay, let's get clear. Their starry host by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke and it came to be. Is that right? He commanded, and what? And it stood firm. He said, "Let there be a man." And it was there. He said, "Let there be a light from these stars that are 10, 20 billion, trillion miles away." And what? It was on earth. That makes sense more than any other explanation you can give. And that is so important that we grasp that, and our young people and everybody's got to hear this. This is the way it happened, and this is what the Bible says, and we are believing in the Bible. And then the issue of abortion. The issue of abortion is our second one there, and pro-life. This is a quote here that I got. This is a real great quote. This is from a doctor that was a former abortionist. Okay? It says, "Few women would have abortions if the womb had windows." That's a good statement. And to realize that life begins at conception. Is that the Bible? In our text here in the Bible, it just says if two guys are fighting and they hit a pregnant woman in Exodus 13:22, and the child dies, okay, and they are guilty of murder of the child, because it says life for life, and that's a child in the womb, okay. And I know our day fights all of that. I want you to know the Bible is very clear. Very clear. And the issue is very clear. And we need to understand. If you've been caught up in it, I want you to know God can forgive you. I want to say it again. And we're all sinners. Is that right? We're all sinners. There's no biggies and littlies. They're all biggies. And it's very important. The next one of the issues is the homosexual movement, biblical marriage. I want you to know biblical marriage says that there is one man for one woman for life. Is that what it says? Man, woman for life. And homosexuality is sin. And Romans chapter 1, let's look at Romans chapter 1. Everybody look at it. That's where you're at. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature." It's not natural. It's not inborn. It is not. "And man likewise gave up natural relations with women, and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error." The sins of that has its own consequences there, very, very much. And we see that, boy, that is terrible to realize. This is the issue there. And it is sinful, it is unnatural, and it's not inborn. It's very important. I want also to note in 1 Corinthians 6, it is also all other sins are sins, okay? So many times we might pick on this one sin, but fornication and adultery is sin too. Is that right? and the gossip sin. Now, preacher, let's move on. You know, pride is sin, and all sin is sin. And the issue is, we must repent of these sins and move on. The LGBT is on commercials now. It's just sickening. The movement, the cultural movement, the sinful movement, we need to condemn that. But the people caught up in it, we need to love them somewhere. We need to let them know that there's hope, there's forgiveness, and there's deliverance in Jesus. Now, I need an amen. That's very important, very important. Because you're a sinner too, and there's hope for you. And we need to have hope for these issues, these social issues, these cultural attitudes and movements that are wrong, and of all of our country and our cultures being caught up in with movies and music and mess. And we need to understand that. Also, they're trying to make you feel that it's just everywhere and everybody. The lesbian and gay part of the LGBT is only 2.4% of all of it. There's LGBT is 4%, okay? But the lesbian and gay is only 2.4% of Americans. And we're being bombarded with 2.4%. And I'm saying, wow. You need to hate sin, but we need to love the people that's caught up in it because they don't know any better. And somebody's got to love them, somebody's got to give them some compassion, somebody's got to give them some hope, because all sins are sin, and all sin can be forgiven. That's why Jesus died. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. And don't think you're better than them because you've committed some of these other sins mentioned there. And that is a big deal, very, very much to realize, wow, that is terrible. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. It is amazing what's going on in our day. The cultures of these things get people laughing at them, and then they get people thinking that it's okay. In America right now, 63% of Americans in 06 believe that homosexuality should be accepted in our culture. Over 51% in 06. It's gaining ground all the time, and they're pushing that. I want you to know they can be forgiven. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. I trust you're there. These are great verses. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? No person that is a full sinner, fully sinning, constantly sinning, always sinning, will get to heaven. Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Love his part. But you are washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? Give them hope. You can be delivered. You can be forgiven. You can be saved. And that is so and so important, that issue. Turn with me in our last text here to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18 to 20. Great text, great Old Testament text. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. The next issue is God ordained men to be pastors and deacons of the church. You're seeing a lot of ladies being pastors today. That is clearly stated in the Bible that that's not the way God meant it to be. And that is very important that we see that it says in 1 Timothy 3, 2, it says the overseer must be the husband of one wife. Verse 12, the deacon, each deacon must be the husband of one wife. Then it says, let their wives be this way. And that's God's plan, okay? Let me state this. Godly ladies are precious and priceless. Is that right? We wouldn't have a church without our godly ladies helping us in every section. they usually do more work than the men. I've always wondered, why did God make man the leader? Well, he's not good at much, so they made him the leader. That's a joke. But ladies do an awful lot in the church, and we cannot do without the ladies. And Romans chapter 16, don't turn there, but Romans chapter 16, Paul spends an entire chapter thanking all the people that helped him. And he mentions 27 people in this chapter, and 10 of them are ladies. Don't ever forget that. Phoebe, Mary, just names them all. Goes through the whole chapter. You can read it. I have a paper back there that I printed up. I didn't print up a lot of them, but if you ladies would like it, is how ladies are viewed, women are viewed globally, and how women have been viewed all through history. Do you know all through history, women have been put down and shamed and everything all through history? And in all of Roman era, the Jewish culture, Hinduism, I have Islam, you should hear. I couldn't print everything. Some of it was so gross what they do to the women of their cultures. I left the website on there if you want to look at the full article. But the difference between what Jesus says of how women should be treated and what other cultures and other world religions do for women. You should praise God you're in America and you're in a Christian environment treating women right. And that is a big deal back there. God ordained men to be the pastors and deacons, but he ordained the whole church, all the ladies, to minister and to help us and to be a blessing. But if you want that article, it's back there on the communion table, and that's very, very important. And then the issue that we come down to men being, or the speaking in tongues issue. We have this that there's a movement today, the charismatic movement, where the sign gifts of tongues, healings, and miracles. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:8 that tongues shall cease. Is that what it says? And it's very important that we see in 2 Corinthians 12:7-8 that these issues have ceased, and the issue of healing. I'm against miracle workers. That makes sense? Miracle workers. Okay, you see them on television. I want you to know, if there was a true healing in America, would the paparazzi be all over it? All over it. All over it. And if Benny Hinn heals all these people, there's a lot going on you don't know. But let me state this, with all the fake going on, I believe that God still heals. And Paul asked to be healed in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. And he asked to be healed, and we need to be asked to be healed. And God told him, my grace is sufficient. You trust me in the midst of your trials. Are some trials the blessing of God and the answer to our prayers? Yes. I've seen healing, and I've seen God take people home in very suffering situations. And God gets the glory both ways. And so it's important that we realize that God still is, he can do anything he wants anytime. He's supernatural. And we need to pray, but we need to believe in his will and his way and his word. But the tongue speaking of our day and the miracle workers of our day, be on guard, folks. Be on guard. There's a lot of phoniness going on in the name of Jesus in that area. And lastly is our text that we're at. I'm looking at the first part of our paper. Everybody look at number 3. Number 3, and I'm going to close. Number 3. Number 3, it talks about us being Bible people. It says, our church aggressively, Pastor Kyle says I use that word too much, okay? Aggressively teaches that every believer should be a diligent, lifelong student of the Bible. Amen? That is imperative. Well, preacher, I'm not good at reading. Well, become good at reading. I read everything out loud. I'm terrible at comprehension. I have to read it and read it and read it and read it, and then the lights come on. Okay? Some people say the first 15 minutes of your reading the Bible doesn't count. Okay? Because you got to read it a long time. But we are to be diligent, lifelong students of the Bible, having meaningful personal time in the Word. Every day, I trust you meet with God in His Word and according to His will and His way. And taking sermon notes. I'm not the best at taking sermon notes or giving you an outline or all that. But I trust you're getting something. And you're here not just to, you know, well, let's get her done. Lunch is coming, you know. No. God's talking. And the Word's speaking. And I believe that God can speak through me to you and it not be the words I use. I want you to think about that one. And studying Sunday school lessons. Our Sunday school is so important. If you're not a part of our Sunday school, jump in a class. We had 5 classes for adults and all the classes for the kids. Our teachers work diligently. It's needed. It's needed of all ages. We like to have some fun. But folks, we're serious about Jesus and the Bible. And we're going to have fun. But church isn't fun. And we've had too many churches that's what it is. It's fun. And let me tell you, if you go to a fun church, when you get to the time of death of your loved one or something, you won't have very much to stand on. Because it's no laughing matter. And that's why we're Bible serious, Bible people. And it says we are to study our Sunday school lessons during the week is our desired norm. We want our people to personally, here it is, know what they believe and why they believe it. Is that right? It's your job. Well, preacher, that's a lot. Yeah, it is. That's a lot. But we got to know it. And you just keep growing in it all your life. Is that right? You just keep at it. And so that when you get old, you have all that God big, God near and dear, and God all powerful, and you rest in Him. Is that right? And you got to personally know what they believe and why they believe it. Secondly, we talk about translations. Our church teaches from the accurate word-for-word translations like the KJV, the ESV, the NASV that was read this morning, and the New King James Version. We like the word-for-word translations. It's neat to have the Bible in English. It was in all kinds of languages. And you're sitting there going, wow. But it's in English and you have it. We have more printed Bibles today than any other generation. You have it on the internet. You have it on your telephone. You have it, your phone, your iPhone. And you have it everywhere. But I think we read it less. We read it less. And I challenge you. You can jump on your Bible. You can plug earplugs in. And you could jigaboo all over the place. Or you can listen to Spurgeon. Is that right? You can listen to Spurgeon. You can listen to all kinds of preachers today. And you can listen to good stuff. And we need to take advantage of that. We're Bible people. Now note along with the word for word. I like this here. Along with these trustworthy translations, we encourage our people to use the 21st century readable versions of the New Living Translation. I say amen more in that version than any. And the NIV. We do not encourage adults and older teens to use these two by themselves or as the only Bible they read. Note that. I love it, but I question it all the time, but I found it does good. I don't like the newer translations using the word like anger, and the older translations or word for uses the word wrath. Is the word wrath a bigger word than anger? But does the word wrath mean anger? Yes. But I that's why I love to keep the two versions. I love you get your accurate, the one you like the best, and then keep some of these and read both of them. Read 4 or 5 versions. I study that. Every sermon I do, I look at 4 or 5 versions. And don't be afraid of that. And that's very, very important. Also, we encourage everyone to have a study Bible. Our study Bible's great. You need a study Bible. Everybody needs a study Bible. Well, preacher, they cost $40. Well, get a life. Get one. and on the internet, you can get them cheaper. Okay, the study Bibles like MacArthur Study Bible, Ryrie Study Bible, the ESV Study Bible, to personally go deeper in the Word of God. Also, free websites like Bible Gateway. You ever been to Bible Gateway? Everybody needs to go to Bible Gateway. It's tremendous. It's free. I use it every day. Every day, go to Bible Gateway. Bible Hub. I go to Bible Hub every day. Just whip in. What's this word mean? Bible Hub tells you the meaning of all the words. Bible Gateway gives you all the translations. Bible Hub gives you all kinds of commentaries. It's amazing. Amazing. Are very helpful to really be a biblical church. Here it is. Last phrase. We all must be serious, everyday Bible reading people, meditating on God's biblical precepts, principles, promises, and practices must dominate our waking hours. Amen? Must dominate. We're Bible people. Well, I like football or basketball. Yeah, I like all that stuff, but it shouldn't dominate us. We're Bible people. We're Bible people. Our last text, Deuteronomy, and I close. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. And when he, the king, sits on the throne, these are rules that God gives to a king, okay? When he, the king, sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book. Catch it. He's going to write his own copy of the Bible. He shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law approved by the Levitical priest. It's the Bible, okay? The Old Testament's what it's talking about. And it shall be for him, okay? Personal. And he shall read it all the days of his life. Is that pretty clear? I like that. And it says, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. That keeps you doing right. Okay? Man, I don't want to stand for God not having that made right. By keeping all the words, to live them, of this law, of these statutes, and to do them, to know them, to categorize them into life and your memory, and then to obey them, to do them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers. He doesn't get conceited and think he's the greatest. And that he may not turn aside from the commandments. He went straight on, obeying what the Bible says, do it, not to the right hand or to the left hand, so that he may continue long in his kingdom. For he and his, what does it say? Children. I like that. In Israel, Bible people committed to God's word. We have a song we're going to sing right now. The Bible stands. Put it up there. Put it up. Put the first stands up. The Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration, it has been given, and its precepts I will obey. Amen? The Bible stands. Put the chorus up. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet upon its firm foundation, for the Bible what? Stands. Patrick, come lead us in this, please. Get the Bible, make it a major part of your life. Major part. Thank you very much.